And we are back, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Huntsville to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Right Side Radio, here we are. I'm going right now to the phones again. So we just had U.S. Senator Katie Britt on to talk about the Senate machinations. Well, we got a lot of things happening in the House, too. The House most recently passed the Lake and Riley Act that they're now going to work on in the Senate, and that's awesome. It was bipartisan, strong stuff. We've also seen some really strong stuff coming out of the House most recently with the idea of the Trump agenda being on the forefront. And I want to talk to someone who's in the thick of it right now. Congressman Gary Palmer represents the 6th District of Alabama. He's a longtime conservative, founder of the Alabama Policy Institute, serving now in Congress and representing really Alabama and the Southeast quite well. Congressman Gary Palmer, how you doing, sir?
Good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back to the show. I really want to dive in with you, Congressman, if I could. There's been a lot of talk about the Trump agenda, so to speak. But I really believe that it's the Trump agenda by name, but it's really the Republicans' agenda overall. And there's talk about whether it's going to be a one omnibus reconciliation bill all in one, or whether we're going to see this thing spread out over several bills, pros and cons to both tactics. What do you see happening, and where are we going with all this?
Well, as the president says, I think it's going to be one big, beautiful bill, and that's what we're working on right now. Congressman Bruce Westman from Arkansas and I have been tasked with working on outside groups on some of the things that we want to get done in this thing, and particularly on estimating the impact. But I think that we will have one bill, and hopefully we'll have it passed out of the House before April 15th.
Yeah, that would be ideal. I mean, if we get it out of the House, now there's talk about the Senate trying to do their own version. Are they going to try and send you something that we have to reconcile, or what are we looking at here?
Well, typically, whatever we send over, there are changes made, and we have to go through reconciliation on the final product. But I don't know what the Senate's doing, and I would hope that the Senate would work on some other issues that we need to take up alongside the reconciliation bill. And but my focus right now is to get the absolute most we can possibly get done in this. And as I spoke to all of the, we had a meeting last Wednesday for all of the Republicans in the House, and I was the last one to speak, and I pointed out to them that no one should look at this as the end of the process. There are a lot of people concerned if they don't get what they want in this reconciliation bill, they won't have another chance. I said, you should not look at reconciliation as the end. You need to look at it as the beginning. And that's really how I'm going about this. And we'll have another opportunity if we want to do reconciliation again. And literally could do it later this year if we want to do that.
Well, Congressman, the batch of stuff that you're trying to send up 50th would include what? Border security, energy, Trump tax cuts. What all are you looking at the same time?
Well, I don't know that we can lump energy into it, because when it goes to the Senate, this gets kind of complicated. But there's something called the Byrd Rule, that whatever we send over has to comply with the Byrd Rule. And that basically, to simplify it, means it has to have a direct impact on the federal budget. So I think on some of the energy, we could make that case. But I've recommended something else to the White House for dealing with the permitting issues that I think that they're taking under serious consideration. But we're going to do the tax cuts, make cuts permanent. I think we're definitely going to take up the border enforcement part of it and have a pay for on that, which I've also made some recommendations on how to pay for this. I think there's some other issues that we could get into this reconciliation package. I'm looking at a number of expenditures that I honestly don't think the federal government should be making. We're looking at whether or not we can do it in this reconciliation bill, but we're looking at getting the RAINS Act in. I think that is the absolute game changer And we've been making great progress in reining in the administrative state. Started with Supreme Court decision in West Virginia versus EPA, and then the decision that eliminated Chevron deference last summer. And now if we can get the RAINS Act passed, Phil, that is the absolute game changer for reining in the administrative state. And I think there are some other things that we can do dealing with improper payments. We're sending out somewhere between $230 and $240 billion each year in improper payments. And when you're looking at a 10-year window, that's $2.3 to $2.4 trillion,
yeah.
And every nickel of it's borrowed. I mean, we're doing some stuff that's just, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's just flat stupid.
Yeah, you couldn't run a household or a business like this. I mean, the house would go into bankruptcy, the business would shut down. The only place where you're allowed to fail up is in government, typically speaking. But
well, yeah, you got that right. And but I think we're pulling back the covers on everything that we possibly can, because we're at a point now where we've got to reduce our debt to as a percentage of our economy. We've got to rein in the deficit spending. We can't keep borrowing money to fund things that really the private sector ought to take care of, that a lot of the stuff, Phil, we have no business doing to start with. And we got to treat, I think we need to treat every dollar like it was one of our dollars. I can guarantee you that I treat my dollars very seriously on what I spend in my personal spending, and I think we ought to do the same thing with what we spend of other people's money.
Well, I completely agree. You know, and I'm excited to see what happens here. There's a lot of talk about how quickly some of this needs to happen. I mean, I think folks think of it in terms of a 4-year window, but the reality is you've got a guaranteed 2-year window. The midterms are always a little dicey for the party in power. Margins are so thin right now in D.C. that this first 2 years is going to be really the crux of what we're able to see happen with the agenda. Am I right?
Well, I really think it's the first 8 to 10 months, because when you get into next year and you'll have members facing primaries, it's going to be election season, and it's harder to get people to make courageous votes. And I made that case too at another meeting with our members, that C.S. Lewis, to paraphrase C.S. Lewis, courage is the greatest of all virtues, because it validates all other virtues.
Hmm.
You may have the virtue of honesty, but if it's going to cost you something to be honest, do you have the courage to adhere to that virtue, to be honest? And that's what I've told my colleagues. If you want to be a great Congress, you got to realize you don't achieve greatness doing easy things.
Ah, there you go.
We're going to have to make some votes that are going to cost us something. But I think if we do, I think if the American public sees that we're doing the right thing and that we have the backbone to get these things done, I think they'll stand with us.
Well, and I agree. And Senator, I mean, Congressman, I think we're looking for that. I mean, I think the reality is, and I speak for a lot of right side ruffians who listen to this show in multiple states, we're looking for that right now. There's an anticipation, if you will, about riding the ship of state in many ways, but at the same time, it has to be something that is measurable, that we can look at and go, look, this actually happened. And I think that's the excitement that the American public have with, you know, getting everything going. Let me ask you this. I saw it all the time in Montgomery during my time in the state legislature. A lot of times people come in and they have their own niche. Maybe their background says military or background says fiscal. Is there any particular thing that, because of your own background, that you're most excited about with the agenda on the table right now?
Well, I've been working on a Western Hemisphere alliance as a soft power alternative to China, because we're in a situation right now, Phil, where our reliance on China for critical minerals and
yeah.
rare earth elements, the things that we have to have to run our economy, to keep our military operational, it's now a national security problem for us. And I've been working on this for about 3 years to advance our ability to mine what we need in terms of these critical minerals and rare earth elements. But more than that, we've got to have facilities to process them and facilities to refine them so that we can turn them into the products we need for microchips, semiconductors, that sort of thing. And then on the energy side, I think we've got an opportunity to absolutely be an energy superpower. But on the bigger picture, looking at these emerging economies in Latin America and Sub-Saharan Africa and looking at how dependent Europe, Europe's in the same boat we're in, Phil, in terms of our dependence on China for these things, and how this thing coming together and people are waking up and realizing that China's not your friend. I'm really excited about what could be an historic change in terms of the geopolitics right now, that it's our best non-confrontational way to deal with China and what they're doing in our own hemisphere in particular.
Well, and I tell you what, yes, on a geopolitical stance, I agree. I think there's been a whole lot of deference given to China by the Biden administration that they didn't deserve. And a whole lot of, I would say, leading from behind. And I look forward to us leading from the front again. Well,
the Biden family was heavily invested in, wait a minute, let me respect that. China was heavily invested in the Biden family.
Yeah.
And so that might explain a lot of what's been going on the last 4 years.
I think sooner or later we're going to find out that somebody in a foreign country had pictures of somebody in the Biden family in a drawer and they were using that as leverage.
Or they gave them $5 million loan with no requirement to pay it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gave them some jewelry that's worth about $70,000 or $80,000 that one of the Biden family said that got lost in the trash. But we don't need to go there. That's old news, and the main perpetrator got pardoned, and I imagine there'll be some other pardons coming down the pike in the next few days.
Yeah, probably in the next 48 hours.
Could be.
Well, Congressman, we look forward to it. I mean, like, really, with anticipation. It's been a target-rich environment for me to talk about things that weren't going right for the last 4 years, but I look forward to talking forward on what we're going to be seeing and doing, and I appreciate you being in the mix. Thanks for your work for conservative policy for years, and thanks for your time in the Congress.
Well, I always appreciate being on with you, Phil, and congratulations on getting into the Chattanooga market. I hope the people listening in Tennessee realize how much value you're going to bring to the radio waves up there, and you do a great job. I think that audience is going to really appreciate having you up there in that market.
Well, thank you much. That means the world. And Charlene and I will be at the inaugural events next week. Maybe we'll see you around.
Hope to see you.
All right. Take care now. Congressman Gary Palmer, representing the 6th District of Alabama. By the way, he's been in leadership for quite a while now in the arena of policy for the Republican caucus. He knows of what he speaks. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and we'll just dive on in. I got a few text messages to clean up, and then, yeah, we got Dipper number 2 coming. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.